use mineral to treat the bowl, it tends to evaporate. So consequently, you should boil the bowl a couple times a year. And if you use it quite a bit, sometimes the grain of wood will come out. And so to mix the fine sandpaper, go over it, smooth it out, pour the bowl and let it soak in overnight. And what we do is we give the people a small tub of beeswax with this bowl. And after a couple of days when the mineral is soaked in, put a coat of beeswax on it. That will help fill the pores of the wood up a little bit and hold the mineral oil in. And you don't have to treat the bowl near as much time. And the other big factor is do not, under any circumstances, set your bowl in a window where there's some sunshine. It will crack it, dry it, and crack it in a reasonably short period of time. Fact is, I make quite a few dough bowls, which is what people use to let their bread rise in. And they did not crack because of the oil in the butter, separate lubricated. They only cracked when people quit making bread. And the dough bowls dried out. And you'll see a lot of dough bowls now that are cracked. Just simply because they haven't been oiled. Our houses are very, very hot, and the type of heat we have is very dry. So there is a natural process of wood drying out and cracking. Let's see, is there anything else about the bowl? Don't leave them in the refrigerator because they'll be dehydrated and they'll go moisture out. Obviously, bowl also. Don't put your bowls on top of the refrigerator because of all the heat that's coming up from the back of the refrigerator. And I guess that's about it, isn't it, as far as said. A few things to avoid and keep it lubricated with mineral oil and beeswax. And you, yeah. And we always hope that some of the bowls will hopefully get passed on down to the next generation. And the best way to do that is to care for it now to maintain its integrity. We're using the salad. You can use it for putting vegetables in. You know, creamware is what was used by people who were coming from the eastern East Coast colonies out west into the wilderness. Many of these people had maybe a little cart and very few personal belongings, but they all had axes and had the ability to create rough furniture and creamware, woodenware. And so wooden bowls have been around and used for food, all types of food, for years and years. So the early colonial tavern, when you got the food, it was on certain pieces of wood in a tree or a log that has too many knots or imperfections or insects infestation that you can't make a bowl out of it. But I hated to throw it away, so I kind of backed into making a few pieces of furniture, or two, three, four pieces. And then I had to figure out some way to be able to dismantle and put them back together. So I started making my own wooden nuts and bolts to put them together and be able to pull them apart. And I kind of liked the look of it, so I continued to make them basically with wooden nuts and bolts. And I've made probably more tables than anything else, sideboard tables and dining room tables. I made several coffee tables also, and a couple of beds for us, but not for ourselves. Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, you can see on the corner of the table there now. What is graceful is the moonshine. Oftentimes, beautifies something else. Excuse me. I go several steps beyond cutting the boards that Janet told me. Because if I'm making furniture, then I'll take it over to across the river to outside of Hagerstown to a Mennonite community. And I'll have the wood come dry. And from there, I'll take it over to Hicksville Frame Mill, which is also a Mennonite site. And we'll run it through the big frame, the rough frame down. And so I get the load and take all this to different places. But the good part of it, I think, is that each one of these places I go to are small businessmen working with wood in one capacity or another. And so I tell people, if they buy a piece of furniture from me, you know, they're helping to support not just me, but a lot of people in our community. And that's important to me.
I think you would have met him, but
yeah.
I didn't. But yeah, so my dad was, you know, get work from
when I was growing up, my stepfather was very handy with his hands, and so I got to hold the dumb end of the stick. When you have a long board, the dumb end of a measuring rod. And I did pick up some stuff from him. As far as any form of thing, I don't know. Oh yeah, I still have a coffee table. Yeah, I didn't even have any tools. We were in grade Basically, only limited by the size of the tool and your imagination. Because you can pretty well make any shape you want to with a handle. I don't own a lathe, but for many people when they come in and think in the beginning that these are made by a lathe. So that's the reason why I always demonstrate when I'm at a show. I always have a piece of wood that I'm working on, and a stump of a tree, and just at the top of that until somebody asks me a question. And then it kind of goes from there. No, this is polyurethane. Anything that any furniture, I put polyurethane. The other thing that I do make, I got back into making sinks out of wood. My son, I put a bid in for a homestead that was going to be behind a dam in front of living room, and got the partial log house and log barn, and we ended up putting it in the back part of my property, and that's where our son lives now. The original idea was to turn it into a B&B managed breakfast. I'm young if I was going to cook for anybody else. And our son and daughter-in-law and their family decided they would graciously move into it if I get it converted over to a house. So we worked on that, and he said, well, Dad, why don't you make a bowl, a couple bowls? And we were working with some epoxy doing another job. And so I said, okay, so let's try making sense. So that was around 2000. And I made them, and they didn't rot or fall apart, so I started making a few things, and then Jim decided that we needed some here, it was kind of slow starting out, because they're fairly expensive, and at the same time, it takes people a while to kind of to get used to the idea of a good thing, and the other issue is that only a small number of people actually are either remodeling the bathroom or building. And those are the two occasions where people are anxious to have a
So I
To some degree, I'm probably more connected with the next family over because I do the other studio show in November each year, and we meet two or three times a year getting ready for the show. I know quite a few artists in the area, but as you probably know, many of the artisans are very isolated in terms of their work as one person, and I don't want to have to, after 37 years of dealing with people and their problems, I don't need people working under me. I enjoy creating what I enjoy making, and then trying to find somebody that might want it. I'm not very good at doing custom. No, I haven't had a chance. I would like to get one of my relatives as an apprentice, but it's hard to get people to work up a sweat today. If you know what I mean, air conditioning and electronics has made a big dent. People actually being outside and doing anything physical. Yes, we have. Very sad. And unfortunately, some of my grandchildren get in that way. Oh, yeah. Probably 60, 70 people, 60 maybe. Over time. and several of them, you were in the Texas Spring. There was a fellow there by the name of Dan Poole. He's a metal worker, and he makes all my handouts. And I've had probably 15 people with their handouts this time. That's the best workout. And of course, I didn't know. Only the two people that continue to make it, but there may be some others out there I'm not aware of.
Would you be familiar
with the
doctor?
Oh, yeah. Glenn Hewitt. Yeah, he lives about 6 or 7 miles outside of Berkeley Springs. Oh, yeah. He's not what you consider a typical metal worker, in that he probably weighs 130 pounds. And you always thank God he's big and fat, but Glenn's a real